Luke 8. And this morning we presented our theme for the year, and we hopefully be able to pick up a banner for the foyer out there so we can see it coming and going, and to keep it in front of us. And then hopefully that same day we'll be able to pick up some invite cards, tracts, whatever you want to call them. It does have the gospel on the back, but on the front it's got our theme and so forth, times of the services. So you can use those to always be inviting people and so forth, giving out those invitations. And then some other things that we have in the works. I know that there's things that the church has had in place in the past that maybe have not been going on of late, but there's some things that we want to start back up. I know Brother Derek wants to get the teenagers starting back up, having a class for them on Wednesday night, and so we're working that way. And then some other things that we will get going back again, and so that'll help in some areas of growth as well as the church. And then there will be offering envelopes with the theme on it there, put in the back of the pews there as well. And it'll be designated, obviously, tithe, missions, and then I believe it'll say vision, and that's for the future buildings or whatever we might need. So we can go ahead and start giving towards that, and obviously it'll be designated and set aside for that growth in the future. So I'm looking forward to that. Hope you are as well. And tonight, the title of my sermon is Be of Good Cheer. Be of Good Cheer. For note takers, you can write that down. Be of Good Cheer. Luke 8, 1. And again, I try to be this way all the time. I try to be energetic. I try to be happy. I try to be exciting, things like that. Sometimes, I get tired, or, if you look at certain situations going on in our world, you can kind of get, discouraged, things like that. But the Bible tells us to be of good cheer. And just like I've mentioned several times since I've been here, that Jesus is a perfect example in this area. He's not trying to tell us to do something that He would not do. He was not a do-as-I-say Savior, not-as-I-do Savior. Whatever He tells us to do, He did. He portrayed it. He lived it. He was a great example of it. And so in the introduction here, we see here, Jesus preached glad tidings. Again, I heard a preacher one time say, this person, and he gave a scenario of somebody's life. They found out that they had a loved one that had a disease, and then they got laid off at work, and then this happened, and they had a big fuss at home, and this, and they came to church, and the preacher, said, Armageddon's on the way, and, just kind of piling on top. And so, obviously, I'm supposed to preach the whole counsel. I'm supposed to preach about even hell and things like that to let us know about it. But I want to preach glad tidings. And that's what Jesus did. He preached glad tidings. So in Luke 8, 1, we see here, and it came to pass afterwards that He went throughout the city and the villages preaching and showing glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with Him. So Jesus didn't go around doom and glooming it. I'm not one of those power of positive thinking type people. We can be energetic, and we can be on top side, if you want to call it that, or we can be excited, and we can look at good things, things like that. But we see here Jesus went throughout the city and the villages preaching and showing glad tidings. He was like, we're going to, set up the kingdom one day. And some of them thought it was right then and so forth, things like that. They were confused about it, but He was preaching glad tidings. And so as a preacher, I'm going to try to do that. If the Holy Spirit tells me to preach something that's a little bit, on the, maybe like hell, things like that, I'll have to. But again, Christians ought to go around talking about glad tidings. Some people, you ask them, how's your day? And then 25 minutes later, you've heard about their ingrown and their, sciatica and their, and you're like, okay, and note to self, just say, hey, brother, and keep on moving. But anyway, we ought to preach about glad tidings. We ought to talk about glad tidings and so forth. So I'm not advocating preaching a social gospel. There's a lot of preachers out there that preach a social gospel, nor a prosperity gospel. I'm not one of those preachers. I've seen preachers that say, send me $1,000 and I'll send you a vial of the miracle water and you can drink it and all your bills will be paid. And you're right. And they got people on their testimonials that said that happened. I paid this preacher $1,000, got a vial of the miracle water. I drank it and a check came in the mail. I paid my house off. Okay, really? And so forth. God will take care of you. He does own a cattle on a thousand hills. He owns everything in this world, and He will supply your need. But I'm not saying, you know, you drink this or pray this or give me some money and everything will go smooth. But I am about preaching glad tidings. So any pastor worth his salt will preach the whole counsel of the Word of God, the Bible says. But I am saying that we ought to be, try to be, optimistic versus pessimistic. Try to be a glass half full Christian instead of a glass half empty Christian. Try to be, let's see here, as my grandkids might say, be a Tigger Christian, not an Eeyore Christian. You know, so T-I-double-G-R, all right, is how they would say it. And, you know, bouncy, bouncy, bouncy. Tigger is all over the place. Now, he might need to back it down a little bit. And some of our kids around here are Tigger kids. They're bouncing all over the church. But anyway, Tigger might need to chillax a little bit, but we all know, okay, Eeyore Christians either. It's doom and gloom. I wish Jesus would just come back. Because there's some things going on that I can see how that would take place. But we ought to preach glad tidings. Another verse that we'll look at, or I'll read it to you. Romans 10:15 says this, How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, of course, I don't think this is one of those literal verses. Because I don't know of very many people that's got beautiful feet. All right? I think this is a picture of what they're bringing. When they walk to the pulpit or they walk to the door, they're bringing a glad tidings message, a good message. I'm not going to take off my feet at somebody's... Or take off my feet. Take off my shoes at somebody's door and show them how pretty my feet are, because they're not. I've broken toes. They're twisted. They're nasty. On my right big toe, I don't even have a toenail. I had so many ingrowns playing sports, I just had it removed. So I have no toenail. And they're like, wow, I wonder what that looks like. It just looks like a mass of toenail material, okay? And it, you know, but so I don't have beautiful feet, but I have a beautiful message. That's why I wear socks and shoes, praise the Lord. Around this, in this temperature, you better have socks and shoes on. You get frostbite. But anyway, it's not meaning that they have really beautiful feet. They have a beautiful message. So in introduction we see here, as far as the feet in the Bible, Romans 10:15 says, that these people had a going feet. A going feet. They practically went house to house. They ceased not till they had filled the village with their gospel. So those feet did that. They had beautiful feet. Now, I'm for practicality. You know, back in the day, you know, it was more about the name brand and the coolness that I felt when I wore shoes. All right, I had to have a specific brand. And, you know, I paid this much for that, and it was all about that. Now at 55, it's all about comfort. If I'm going to be on them for a long time, I want to have some comfort. I remember, you know, playing basketball. You know, some people, they played basketball and they never tied their shoes. They just looked sloppy and floppy. If I did that, I would have broken my ankles because I would come out of them. I had to have something that was practical, kept me from twisting my ankles. It was tight, that didn't slip. It was all about practicality. So we see here these going feet. I'm for practicality. If you do go door knocking, wear some comfortable shoes. You know, there's some of those dress shoes that have wood soles. Clop, clop, clop. You walk to two houses and you're like, no, I got Echoes. Now, these things got nice cushy soles. I can walk for a long time. Why? Because I got a good message. And I want to be as go as long as I can. Same thing. The older you get, the more healthy that you want to be. I don't want to be limited of what I can do for the Lord, so I want to keep these feet healthy. I want to keep my, you know, body in shape, things like that, so I can serve the Lord. So they had going feet. And we see that they also had healthy feet. And then thirdly, we see here they had, I guess they realized God was proud of their feet. All right, God was proud of their feet. And I'll say it this way. A lot of people, they say, okay, I want to go soul winning. And so they go and they don't see anybody saved. And they're like, oh, no use. It's kind of like going fishing. I like going catching. I don't like going fishing. All right, if I go 15, 20 minutes and I'm not catching, I'm going home. All right, because I like going catching. I don't like going fishing. Some people, they can fish all day long. Well, I got 3 nibbles. I'm not going to be out there all day long if I'm getting 3 nibbles. I'm going to the house. I like to catch. All right, and but I get it. You have to be patient, all that kind of stuff. But some people they put this philosophy in soul winning. Well, I knocked two doors, and they all said no, so I'm gonna just stop. No, God is just as proud of you when you go soul winning and nothing happens. Okay, because He says go and plant and water. Then there's some reaping every once in a while. Now, in my point of view, I love it when I get to reap, when I get to see somebody get saved. But God's just as proud of me when I witness and they tell me, ah, not today. That's the most frustrating thing for a soul winner. You know, you go all the way through the gospel. You show them they're a sinner and you show them Jesus paid for it. And all you have to do is just put your faith and trust in Him and He will save you. Well, not today. But God's just as proud. Why? Because you were obedient. And you go and they've never heard it and you get to plant it for the first time. God's just as proud. So we see here they had a going feet. They were practical. They were healthy. And they realized that God was just as proud of them when they walked and did not get to see people saved. So first of all, we see a going foot. Secondly, we see a withdrawn foot. A withdrawn foot. Proverbs 25:17 says this, withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. So again, this is what we were talking about a little bit this morning. I believe it was in the Sunday school lesson about that discretion that God gives a soul winner. So you'll notice. Sometimes, you know, I've had a new soul winner with me before, and you know, I just give them a tract, say, "Hey, read that. Come visit with us when you get a chance. Have a nice day." And they asked me when we left, "Why didn't you ask them if they were saved?" Well, I didn't feel the Holy Spirit urging. Okay, and that's what this is talking about. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. So in other words, if you have your neighbor and you go witness to him on Monday, and then you go witness to him on Tuesday, and then you go witness to him on Thursday, you know, Wednesday and Thursday, and he's like, ah! All right? It gets upset. They might put that wall up. So that's why you've got to be led of the Holy Spirit to do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. So they had a going foot. They had a withdrawn foot. Number three, they had a shaking foot, a shaken foot. Matthew 10:14 says this, whosoever will not receive you, shake off the dust of your feet, basically, and go to the next town. The disciples were down there. They were soul winning in their area, and these people rejected it and rejected it and rejected it. And they didn't get all disappointed. Why? Because they were sharing glad tidings. They were telling people how to be saved. And they said, we don't want to hear it. And figuratively and literally, they dusted the dust off their feet and went to the next town. So when we're having that, I guess, perspective of an outreach, shedding glad tidings, just tell it to everybody. And don't let your spirit react to their reaction. If they say, I don't want to hear it, don't get discouraged. Just go to the next person. They might want to hear it. That's the way these people, when they were spreading glad tidings, these 12 that were with Jesus, they spread it. And they had a going foot, and they had a withdrawn foot, and they had a shaken foot. So how can we preach glad tidings and be a good cheer? If you're looking at the wickedness of the world, it's hard. You watch the news for 10 minutes. I don't know if anybody ever even still reads the paper, or is there still circulation papers out there? Just bad news, bad news, bad news, bad news. And you get discouraged. So how in the world can we preach glad tidings and be of good cheer in the wickedness of the world? Then if we wanted to add the political realm of our world, oh my soul. you listen to CNN, Fox News, two different opinions. And they're going crazy with that. And you're like, goodness, how can I be of glad tidings with the mess of our political world and have good cheer? And then again, here's another one, the doom and gloom and the fear that's in this world. People are scared. They're scared financially. They're scared physically. They got security systems. And on top of security systems and weapons on top of weapons, and I'm fine with all that. But it's doom and gloom, doom and gloom, doom and gloom. So how can we preach and teach glad tidings and be a good cheer in this situation? So more than any of these things, let me say it this way. Jesus is more powerful than the mess of this world. He's more powerful than the political realm of this world. And He's more powerful than any doom and gloom that you might hear. The only thing that He's more powerful than this, but the only thing that will stop us, the wickedness of the world won't stop us if we want to have glad tidings and spread good cheer. The political won't stop us. Even the doom and gloom spreaders will not stop us. The only thing that will stop us was our own personal sin. That's what's going to stop us. The Bible says in Psalm 51:12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and upon me with thy free spirit." So David stopped having good glad tidings, or spreading good glad tidings and good cheer, not because of the world, not because of the politicalness, and there was things like that in his time. Saul was trying to kill him. "I'm the king." Right? So politically it was a mess. There was doom and gloom spreaders in David's time. But the only thing that stopped David from spreading glad tidings and good cheer was his own personal sin. So don't let the devil, he's going to be loud about this other stuff. The only thing that will slow us from having joy is our sin. So sin blocks joy of the Lord. "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and upon me with thy free spirit." So Jesus other than you, that's a good thing. But how about Jesus? Let there be nothing between. That would be a good mantra there. So joy and sin cannot be occupied in the same heart. Number two, not only will our sin block joy, a lack of faith blocks joy. Hebrews 11:6 says this, "But without faith it is impossible to please God." You have to go when you're going soul winning, or if you're going to try to spread good cheer or glad tidings and good cheer in this world, it's going to have to be by faith. It can't be worked up. It can't be turning over new leaves. It can't be programs. It has to be faith in God. Because if we try to spread glad tidings and be of good cheer in our own, our flame's going to go out. It's got to be by faith. So not only will sin block our joy and our happiness, lack of faith will block our joy and happiness. Thirdly, prayerlessness blocks our joy. The Bible says in James 4:4-7 says this, "Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God, and the God of peace, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." So these are the only three things that can block our happiness or our joy or our spreading of good cheer, is sin, a lack of faith, and prayerlessness. Now, that's all introduction. Here's the three points of the outline. We'll see here what we must look at God and realize. We must look at God and realize, number one, we're saved. When we look at God and realize that we are saved. A couple of verses. Matthew 9:2 says this, "And behold," we're looking, "and behold, there brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven." And the Bible says that he immediately, not like some of these movies portray, that they get up and they slowly get strength. No, the Bible says they immediately got strength. And as my granddaughter sings, they went sweeping and mopping and praising the Lord. All right. What is it? I think they went walking and leaping and praising the Lord. She heard that song in junior church the other day, so she came home saying, and they were mopping and sweeping and praising God. So, but anyway, this man, he was of good cheer. He was crippled, and now he's got his strength. And so he went running and leaping, or walking and leaping and praising the Lord. So we see here, we must realize, when we look at God, we must realize we're saved. Romans 5:11 says this, "And not only so, but we also joy in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement." And so what's going to help us have glad tidings and be of good cheer is just realize you're saved. God's going to take care of it. I can't save myself, but He could. And He did when I was 10 years old and never took it back. The Bible kind of indicates that, or not kind of indicates, says it, that I'm in Jesus' hand and nobody can pluck me out. And then I'm in God's hand and nobody can pluck me out. So I can be happy about that. The world might be a rough place, but I'm saved. There might be doom and gloom going around, but I'm saved. This political world is a mess, but I'm saved. So I'm going to be above that stuff. I'm going to pray for that stuff. The Bible tells us to. I'm going to try to be a good influence on that, but I'm saved. I can't keep myself, but He can. And He's done it for 45 years. So we can be excited about that. How can we have good cheer and spread glad tidings? I'm saved. I could not save my loved ones, But he did. It took me years to win some of my loved ones to the Lord, but I saw God save them. There was political mess back then. There was doom and gloom back then. There was wickedness of sin back then, but God saved them. And I'm praying that He saves some loved ones that I have now. Some little rugrats. All right, my grandkids. One or two of them's getting close. They're starting to ask questions, and I'm praying God will save them. And I know He will. So praise the Lord. I can spread glad tidings and be of good cheer because I'm saved. Number two, I can be spread glad tidings and be of good cheer because I'm safe. Not only saved, but I'm safe. Now the devil will try to tell you different. Maybe some wickedness of this world will try to tell you different. Maybe some even so-called friends might tell you different. But you're safe. God's got you. All right? You're not without His protection. Now, if we go to heaven through an accident, or if we go through to go to heaven through a physical thing, it was just God's plan. We didn't get out of His hand. We didn't get out of His protection. It was just His time. And that was the road that He chose for us to come there in. But we're safe. We don't have to go around all scared. All right? We're safe. The Bible says in Matthew 14:27, "But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." So those fellows in the boat in the storm, they were panicking. And then they got to talking to each other. "We're going to die. This is it. It's over." And then here comes Jesus, and they're all freaked out. "It's a ghost!" Right? He said, "Hey, be of good cheer." So even in the storm, Jesus was telling them to be of good cheer. "And don't be afraid. It is I." And so He spoke to the storm, obviously got in the boat, spoke to the storm, and peace be still. He's got it all under control. We're safe. We're safer in God's hand than we are in anything else. The Bible says in Mark 6:50, For they all saw Him, and were troubled immediately. And He talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." So Jesus has got you. Not only has He saved you, He's keeping you safe. Jesus is safer than any mask you can wear. I've seen people wear 3 and 4 masks. Jesus is safer than 3 or 4 masks. I've seen people that's got 19 vaccinations and all the boosters. Jesus is safer than that. I've seen people go into storm shelters. And if there's a storm, that's fine. If there's a tornado outside, getting them close to the center part of your house or in your basement, I'm fine. We're protecting yourself. But Jesus is in charge of that storm. My wife's got some friends down in Georgia. Tornado just came by, took their garage out, took their barn out, took their fence out, took their gazebo out, and the house was fine. Coincidence? No. They're safe in God's hands. Again, now if the house was destroyed and they went to heaven, that was just God's plan. But you're safe. Don't let people freak you out. You're safe. God's got you in control. We see here that Jesus is safer in any storm shelter. Jesus is safer than our own reasoning. Again, I'm all for cleanliness. Some people, they'll wash their hands 32 times, sanitize it 12 times, and then just say, "Hey, not even fist bump." They germs. Okay, we're breathing them. Jesus has got you. Now, I'm not saying don't wash your hands and don't sanitize and be nasty and get sick. But Jesus has got us. Our own reasoning. Obviously, Jesus is safer than any political party you try to choose from. Jesus is even safer than a retirement plan. I'm for them. I'm getting older. I want some money that I can live on out there. Praise the Lord for Social Security and any other thing. I'm for all that stuff. But Jesus is safer than a retirement plan or 401k or any other thing that you can think of. Jesus is safer than that. So how can I spread good tidings and glad tidings and good and be of good cheer? Because I'm saved. And I'm also saved. Number three, we can look at God and realize that we are stronger. We are stronger. John 16:33 says this, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So all the things we talked about a while ago about this in this world, Jesus said, "I've overcome that." So not only are you saved and you're safe in His hands, You're also stronger, because stronger is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Now, I'm not saying go around sticking your tongue out at the world saying, you know, come on, bring it, all that stuff. No. But if we have Jesus Christ inside of us, we are stronger than the world. So all that thing, we have to have His help. 1 John 4:4 says this, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. But greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world." So the world and the commercials and all the philosophies that go on out there and just scare us Christians to death, what's the use? You know, we're just this, and we're just a little one church, and we're just one Christian. What can we do? Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. We are stronger. So we see here that we're stronger when we use the armor of God. That's why He gave it to us. The helmet of salvation. I'm saved. So if politicalness just destroys this earth, I'm going to heaven. If some type of disease that rampantly goes through the world, I'm going to heaven. If anything happens, I have the helmet of salvation and nothing's going to change that. Then it says, gird up your loins with truth. I have the Bible. I could really care less what CNN says. I like the Bible. I really could care less what an unbeliever says. I like the Bible. I have the truth. I have the breastplate of righteousness. Not mine, but His. And my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel and that shield of faith. So I am stronger with those things than anything that's going on in this world. So, in conclusion, we see here, be of good cheer. Why? Because we have His pardon. Because we have His pardon. If you're saved, your sins have been pardoned. Because the devil might bring those up. You know, he'll try to scare you with the world stuff and the political stuff and the diseases and things like that. He'll try to scare you with that. But then he'll also come and talk to you about you. But you can say, I've been pardoned. I can be of good cheer because I have God's pardon. Secondly, in conclusion, I can be of good cheer because I have His power. I have His power. What we see this morning in Acts 1:8, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have power. We can have that power. Again, don't try to stand in your own. Don't try to stand in your own abilities. Don't try to stand in your own knowledge. But you can stand strong in His. We can be of good cheer because we have His power. Next, we can be of good cheer because we have His presence. His presence. Again, I've told you some stories about soul winning experiences that I've had with dogs being sicked on me and I've had guns drawn on me and I've been cursed out and I've been spat upon. I remember trying to give a guy a track in a car. I was standing at a crosswalk where you're supposed to push the little button. So I pushed the button and I was waiting my turn. The car pulls up. He's sitting there. Tried to give him a track. He goes and spit in my face. All right, my flesh wanted to yank him out of that car and, you know, give him some knuckle bumps, all right, upon his head. That's what my flesh said. All right, but the Holy Spirit's presence was there and said, they spat in my face. Welcome to the crowd. You're in good company. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So again, we can't go in our flesh, because my flesh would have gotten arrested probably that day, because I'd have pounded that dude. All right, but the Holy Spirit's presence was there and kept me calm, and just smiled, and let Him drive away. So we can be of good cheer because His presence is there. I would not have been able to abstain or restrain myself from that without God's presence. Not only should we be of good cheer because we have His pardon and His power, in His presence we also have peace. We have peace. Peace give I thee, the Bible says. Not as this world gives, but such as that I have, I'm going to give it to you. So the world says, I can give you peace if you have a big bank account. I can give you peace if you have popularity. I can give you peace if you have success. I can give you peace and all this stuff. And why do we have millionaires committing suicide? Why do we have movie stars committing suicide? There's not peace in that. That's a lie from the devil. But we can be of good cheer when we're right with God and we have that peace that we're right with Him. A lot of things could be going wrong in that boat that day. We're going to drown. This boat's going to... And there were some boats in the Bible that were just destroyed by the storm. But nobody died. They all come in on some little pieces here and there and little pieces on there. God took care of it. We can have that peace that He's going to protect us. And then, obviously, all those things, the pardon and the power and the presence and that peace, those are all promises of God. So we can be of good cheer. Number one, because of the Spirit of God. And we have the Spirit of God. Number two, we'll see here in just a second. But Acts 23:11 says this, "And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also in Rome." And this is what I was talking about. You know, they thought they were going to die. And God told them, y'all not going to die. Everybody's going to make it to the other side. Why? Because I need you to testify in Jerusalem just like you did in Rome. And you're going to make it. So you can have that peace because of the Spirit of God. And then lastly, we see here because of the Scripture of God, Acts 27:25 says this, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." And so we can be of good cheer and we can spread glad tidings. Why? Because God said it was going to work out like this. You go over to the Revelation, you know, you've heard the song, "I've read the back of the book and we win." All right? We're going to be fine. And so we can, even with the doom and gloom of the world, even with the political realm of the world, even with the world's philosophy just beating down on us all the time, we can be of good cheer because I'm saved and I'm going to go to heaven. I'm safe. God's protecting me. And He that's inside of me that's stronger than anything in this world. So just go around being of good cheer. You know, some people, they're you know, I guess what we might call disposition, facial expression. You're like, you don't want to even say hey to them. All right? But that might not be the case. But as Christians, we ought to go around spreading glad tidings. And we ought to be of good cheer. So tomorrow at work, some people are going to come in and they're going to have a headache because of something stupid that they did this weekend. And some of them are going to come in and say, "Man, I found out this news," and we ought to go in and we ought to be the happiest people there. Why? Because we're saved. And we're safe in God's hands. And stronger is He that's in us than He that's in the world, and we're going to make it. And then people might say, "Why are you so happy?" I'm just spreading glad tidings and being of good cheer. Why? Because I'm saved. Because I'm safe. And not me is stronger than this world and the devil, but He that's in me is stronger. And it gives us opportunity to be a good testimony, to witness, and to encourage somebody. So, praise the Lord. Let's be like Jesus. He went around preaching good tidings and spreading good cheer. And this is our opportunity to do that as well. So we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll have an invitation, and then we'll be dismissed. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity we have to serve You. And Lord, I just ask You to be with us, Lord. Help us to realize that we are down here to be a light. We're down here to be salt. We're down here to be a good testimony. But we're also down here to spread glad tidings and be of good cheer. It's hard to do sometimes with physical ailments, mental attacks, oppressions of the world and the devil. But God, help us to hold on to these promises. I'm saved and nothing's going to change that. I'm safe in Your hands, You're in control, nothing's going to change that. And You are stronger than anything that I might face. Lord, help us to spread glad tidings and be of good cheer. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. Brother Derek's going to lead us in the invitation.